This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at missoulachurch.com.
Take your Bibles if you haven't. I'm going to tear with you, or it'll be on the screen. You don't have to do that. I'm going to preach you out of the very first book this morning called Genesis, right? It's on page 9, so it's really easy to find. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 and 3, it'll be on the screen. This is what it says. The Lord said to Abram. Now, let me just stop there for a moment. This is Abram that God changed his name to Abraham. This is before the Abraham moment. Here's what I know about God. God sometimes gives us different names. He gives people different names when we encounter him at certain moments. Now, you may be in the room today and your name won't change, but I can promise you your life will change if you encounter Jesus, all right? And you encounter God. Abram had an encounter with God and his name was changed to Abraham. This is at the starting point of that encounter. So it says, the Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land that I will show you. Goes on, it says this, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a lot of wills. That's a lot of I will, I will, I will, a lot of wills. That's a lot of promises. I would love to have all those promises in my life. Here he is, he's promising Abram all these things. If you do these things, I will promise you. But here's what when I first read this Genesis 12, what really stuck out to me is that, yes, God is blessing or telling Abraham, I'm going to bless you. But what I know is I see these promises, they're all connected to something Abraham had to do. Like, God didn't just say, here you go, Abraham. It was connected to something that Abraham had to do. It says, go from your country, your people, go from your father's household to this land that I'm going to give you, and I will show you, that I will show you. So Abraham had to be willing to go somewhere. Here's the thing about this scripture. Abraham had to be willing to go somewhere that he did not know where he was going. Abraham had to be, God didn't tell him. He just says, I want you to go to this land. He didn't know anything about it. He didn't know how to get there. So he says, Abraham had to be willing to go somewhere that God was telling him to go in order to do what God was asking him to do. Abraham had to actually do something. Sometimes God's will is connected to your will. Sometimes God's connected to your will. So maybe that's why they call it free will, right? You have this free will because God will do it if you will do it too. It's like a partnership. God will do it if you do it too. Now, one thing I love about God, just so you can grab this morning, is oftentimes he will do things even when we don't. So that's true. God will do things for us even when we don't. But there's an aspect of blessing that is connected to God's promises that must also be connected to our obedience. In other words, as we're obedient, as we do certain things, God blesses us, right? God gives us certain things. So there's a certain part of God's blessing that's connected to our obedience and our willingness to do what God says. So you do these things, God will bless you. This scripture that I'm reading about is a great example of what God does in our lives. Catch this morning. It's a great example of what God does in our lives. God will often give us a promise with no address. He'll give us a promise with no address, right? Nothing more frustrated than say, come to my house, but you don't know how to get there. And then there's a few Montana people, this is how they give directions. You're gonna go down the road, turn right, then you're gonna go down by another mountain, you're gonna turn left, you go down another mountain, you're gonna turn right. And I'm just like, nah, just put it in my GPS. Just give me your address. Sometimes God says, hey, I want you to do something. I'm gonna bless you. I wanna do things. I want you to go here, but I'm not gonna give you an address. I'm not gonna give you a direction. He told Abraham, I will do this, I will do this, I will do this. And Abraham's probably thinking, cool, where do I go when we get started? Where do I do it? And God's like, I'll just show you later. I'll just tell you later. Just go do all that and I'll show you later. Sometimes you gotta be willing to receive a promise with no address, with no destination. And if you're willing to step out and follow that, God can do amazing, 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 amazing things with you. This aspect of Abraham's faith is expounded upon in the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, and It's in chapter 11. It's familiar scripture. If you've been around the church at any time, you know about chapter 11, the book on faith, and it's in the book of Hebrews. And we see what was happening, right? But here's the deal. When you see what happened in Genesis and you jump to Hebrews, we see the same thing happening, but we see it in reverse. Sometimes things don't make sense in the moment. When you're following God, sometimes things don't make sense. You have to look back for things to make sense. You ever been there? When you look back and go, oh, so that's why that was. So in the New Testament, we're looking back on Abraham's decision, you know? And it's what we thought it was. It was a step of faith. It was Abraham stepping out. He didn't know where he was going. All he knew is God said, I'll give you these promises and you go in this direction to go somewhere. He didn't even know where he was going. Here's what it says in Hebrews 11, verse 1. It'll be on the screen. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. That is what the ancients were commended for. You go down to verse 8, and it says this. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he knew exactly where he was going. Oh, you guys are following with me. Good morning. Well, give yourself a hand. Come on. I was waiting for you to go just, you know, sit there calmly and quiet. But you caught it. Even though he did not know where he was going. So this morning I want to talk to you about, and I've entitled my little talk with you this morning simply this: you will know it, ... eventually. You will know it eventually, right? A lot of time when I speak to you and I come to our church CLC, a lot of times we speak, we talk, we bring series to you, right? Like we're gonna talk about giving, and we're gonna talk about different series, and we go through this series, we track together, and we become focused on a topic, on a direction that God wants to go. Then there's other times where God speaks to me and it gives me what I would like to call a standalone sermon, like where I speak to you out of my thinking or speak to you out of my journey or my heart where God is leading me. A few weeks ago, my wife and I, about 2 weeks ago, we went for the first time up to the Glacier area, and we're driving up, and everyone's telling us, like, you know, we go through the Flathead Lake, it's beautiful, right? And then we get off, and we're driving through, and the lake's beautiful, but what caught my attention was all the cherry trees and the blossoms, right? But I was mad. I don't care about the blossoms. I want to eat the cherries, right? And I see all the blossoms, and but the cherries aren't there. Who cares? Until the cherries are there, that's all that matters to me. But what I realize is that, here's the deal, guess what? Cherries aren't in season. They're not in season. And standalone servants to me are kind of the example of, I want to serve to you what's in season in my life. I want to serve you what's in season in my life. What I find out many times for me is like, when I'm going through, what I'm experiencing, what I'm talking through with God, often many people are going through the same thing as well. They're experiencing, walking through some of the many things as well. So many of you have been very complimentary since I've been here for 6 months of my preaching. Oh, it's impacted me. You've enjoyed it. If you don't like it, then I promise you I'll work to do better. But my prayer to you is to bring you something that God is speaking, to bring you something that maybe will make you a better follower of Christ and ultimately will impact our community for Jesus. As a pastor, I feel the pressure. As a lead pastor, I feel the pressure, several pressures. I feel the pressures of growing our church. I feel the pressure of reaching our community. I feel the pressure of hiring staff. I feel the pressure of paying the staff. I feel the pressure of fiscal responsibility of caring for you, our people. I feel the pressure of paying the bills, of stewarding our building and our reputation in the community. All the while of feeling the pressure of being a father and a husband and taking care of my two dogs, Glory, amen. All the while honoring God, pleasing him, and being obedient. You feel probably some of the same things. And if I'm honest, you know, if we're all being honest, like many of you, I think there's times in the midst of those pressures where I feel those feelings of inadequacy, those feelings of, am I up to the task? And maybe you feel the same thing when you go through those pressures of, am I up for this? I feel the pressures of, am I, or are we honoring God, or are we doing his will? And then the big sentence jumps in, right? The big question of, will I fail? Like, will I fail? And many times, so this is how it goes for me, and maybe it goes for you. Many times I pray, Lord, if you could just tell me what your plan is, then I can plan for your plan. How many of you like that prayer, right? Lord, if you just tell me your plan, I can plan for it. We'll be good, right? And again, I'm not trying to overthrow the will of God. I just want what you want, God. So if you just let me know, right? God, if you just let me know what you want, I will set up our church. I'll set my life up what you want it to be. Just let me know. If you want us to do that, we'll do that. If you want us to do this, we'll do this. And as I begin to have those conversations, I feel like the Lord revealed to me something that's both discouraging and encouraging. Both discouraging and encouraging through the life of Abraham that I just talked to you about. And basically, I feel like the Lord says, hey, Pastor Heath, hey, Christian Life Center, this one thought. This is what he says to us. You will know it when you get there. You will know it when you get there. Now, most of us are like, No. I don't live life like that. I need to know now. But God says, hey, you'll know it when you get there. And I'm thinking, no, Lord, that sounds like a little too late, right? We need to know now, right? And if we were being honest, we're like, hey, Lord, I want to keep it honest. Let's keep it real, Jesus, you and I. Some things we just need to know in advance. Right? We just need to know, because when God says it, it's like when your mom used to say to you, when you'd say, ask the question why, and they would say, because I said so. And you're like, no, that doesn't suffice. Or your mom would say, why can't, and then she'd say, well, because I'm the mom. And you're looking at her and say, no, that doesn't work. God's saying the same thing to us. You'll know when you get there. And the Lord says, you'll know when you get there. And when I meditated on that, when I began to think about that thought, which really is a promise, right? You'll know when you get there. God's promising it to us. I think it's a biblical principle of faith. And I went from discouragement to encouragement. That God, he'll let me know. And so this morning, real quickly, this is a message for you if you're in the room and you've got questions and no answers. Maybe you've been on a journey in your life and you're like, what's happening? I know I'm probably only preaching to myself, but I don't know if you've ever asked God, hey, God, what's going on? Like, God, why is this happening? Maybe I'm the only one who's ever asked God that question. But you're at that place where you're just saying, God, what's going on? What's happening? Why is this happening in my life? And if you could just, you kind of want to say to God, if you could just let me know the outcome, you would save a whole bunch of time, right? Just let me know the outcome, and we could save each other a whole bunch of time. But most likely, for some of your questions, God's response is going to be, and I'm sorry for this, but God's response is going to be, you'll know when you get there. You'll know when you get there. Many of you have dreams with no direction. Maybe you have dreams for a business in here, but you feel like you have no direction. Maybe you have God's placed a ministry idea or somewhere you want to serve in your heart, but you feel like you have no direction. Maybe you have a calling and there's no direction or a place to serve or plans for your life, and yet you feel like there's no road that's easily traveled. Maybe you're at a deadline in your life with no start date. Like some people, maybe you're getting closer. We love you, but maybe you're getting closer to the finish line, and it's getting closer and closer, but you feel like there's still more to the race. What does God have for me? Maybe you're a wife and a husband, and you've been praying for your spouse, and you feel like, what's going on, God? Maybe you're a parent or a grandparent in here, and you're praying for a child, and you're like, when, Lord? When's it going to happen? And God says, you know what? God just looks at us and says, you'll know it when you get there. You'll know it when you get there. We want to know the hows and the whys, and God's answer is, you'll know it when you get there. You'll know it when you get there. Listen, you may have a big decision to make. Maybe you're facing a big decision in your life right now, which also means, how many of you know when you have big decisions, usually there's always a big chance that you have to take with it. There's a big risk that you have to go. You don't know how it's going to turn out. You don't even have a clue where it's going to lead. When should you take it, or should you not take it, and where you should go? And hear me this morning. I want to encourage you with this. I believe that God hears your prayers. I believe that God hears your prayers. But I think sometimes God's response to us is not to fill in the blank, but just to say, hey, listen, you'll know when you get there. You just got to follow me. You just got to serve me, and you'll know when you get there. And I know that's not the most encouraging thing to hear this morning. Like, Pastor Heath, you can do much better than that. You can give us better news than that, right? Tell me that God's going to fill in the blanks to all my answers or to all my questions. Tell me God's going to do that. So this morning, let me give you three reasons. Let me give you three reasons why getting there, waiting till we get there, is both discouraging and encouraging. Number one is this. As human beings, I believe this. We think forward motion, but God thinks reverse engineering. We think forward motion, but God thinks reverse engineering. We think about moving. We think about getting there. But hear me this morning. God is less concerned about getting there than who you are when you get there. He's less concerned about getting there than who you are when you get there. He's less concerned about going. He's more concerned about your becoming. He wants to use the journey to do things in you before you ever get to the place that he wants you to be, right? And I find as humans, we are destination driven. We are destination driven. Like when I was a kid growing up, the night before, my parents would say, "You're going to Disney World," right? And we were so excited. We couldn't wait. We couldn't sleep all night. And Disney is ingenious. They're genius for kids, terrible on parents, right? So like miles, like 10 miles before you even get into the park, as you're driving in Disney, they would have signs to tell you to tune into your AM station. And right there, the whole way in, there's Mickey and Goofy on the radio talking to you. "Hey, welcome to Disney World. You're going to love it here." You know, that type of thing. And the kids are going freaked out in the back, and the parents are like, "Oh, why so early?" You know, because we're all about the destination. We couldn't wait to get to the destination. And I think as humans, we are destination driven. But hear me this one. I have found that God is journey focused. He's not so much about the destination as he is about the journey, about getting you there. When I was a kid, we had I had these toys, right? It was like a motorcycle, and maybe you've heard of these before, but what you do is if you would push it back, it would go click, 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 and then you would let it go, and it would go, and it would run on its own. How many of you know what I'm talking about, right? Okay, good. I'm like, sure, I'm not the only one in the room, right? So I'd be like, "You're dating yourself, man." I'm like, "I know." The young people in the room are like, "What? You guys didn't have electricity back then?" I'm like, "Yes, we had electricity. We just couldn't afford the electric toys, you know?" So. But this motorcycle was so cool because I could put it on a table on a floor and I go click, 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 and get it all the way back. And then I would let it go and it'd fly forward. I remember the color. It was jet black. It was beautiful. Until one day, this click, 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 click stopped working. It no longer went click, 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 and it no longer propelled itself forward. And so when I said, "Oh, it stopped working, it's not moving forward, it's broke. I gotta throw it away. Because it's not working. It stopped moving." And I thought, you know, if it stopped moving, then it's broken. And then my dad shows up and he goes, "Whoa, son, before you throw it away, let's look at it. Let's take a closer look." And he looked at the plastic gears and he took it apart and he says, "Oh, this gear is messed up here. This needs to be fixed here." And he took the toy and he got it to work again. It would click, 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 and it would move forward. Hear me this morning. Don't be encouraged if you feel like you have stalled. Don't be encouraged. Sometimes it's not broken. Sometimes you're not broken. Sometimes God just has you in one place. He has you in place, and he has to get the right pieces in the right place so that he can move you forward. And that's kind of what he's doing. So that when you get to where he wants you to be, because here's the thing, God knows how all things work. He knows how you work. He just got to get the pieces together to keep you moving. It feels like you're not moving. It may feel like you're being delayed, but maybe God's doing things inside of you to prepare you for what he has for you at the destination. Let me give you an example. I just didn't hear, maybe this will speak to one or two of you in the room, but let's talk about financially, right? If things get tight for you, you have a job, you're working, things get tight for you, guess what happens? Your retirement date looks a little farther away, right? Because you're saving less for retirement. But what you don't understand is that the decrease in your income is most likely forcing you to develop new disciplines. For new development, spending less money. Because you aren't making more money, you have to learn how to spend less, which you're going to need when you get into retirement. When you get into retirement, you no longer have a job, and now you have to live on all the money that you've been saving. And if you haven't developed the discipline, let me just help you out here, practical financial advice. If you haven't developed the discipline to spend less when you retire, then you're not going to be able to retire very long. In fact, you're going to find yourself bagging groceries at Albertsons, right? Nothing against bagging groceries at Albertsons. God bless them. But this is how God thinks. He puts you in your season. He puts you in your scenario so that you are ready for the next season he has for you. We think forward. God thought backwards. He thought backwards. You know what you do when you have no money, right? You know what I do when you have no money? Some of you say get a job. Some of you say don't spend. You pray. I don't know about me, but it happens to me. Whenever the bank account goes lower, I pray. My prayer life goes a little higher. Like, God, you got to help me. Like, I believe this. Atheists will pray to God when they got bills to pay. You know what I mean? Like, we pray. But I think through that prayer, those times where God places us in season, guess what develops inside of you? Desperation. And desperation can be a good thing. When you become desperate, In other words, when you become hungry, it's a good thing. Now you're in retirement, right? You've got this discipline to spend less, but maybe you're in the room and you have experienced retirement, and you've also developed this desperation for the Lord, which is really, you're gonna need it, because now that you're retired, you no longer have quote unquote purpose, because your job had been your purpose for so many years. But here's the thing, God has been preparing you during that time with this desperation, and now you have this desperation to seek God more. You have this desperation to find purpose in his presence. You have this desperation to serve and get connected in your church and expand what God has prepared you to do, because God knew what you needed back then, even though you didn't. I'm telling you, God is already in your future, church. He's already in your future. And he's putting and he's arranging the pieces today to have what you need to survive the seasons that you're gonna go through. We think forward motion, God thinks reverse engineering. God values the journey more than he does the destination. He just wants us to get there. Here's what I want to encourage you this morning. The reality, the truth this morning is this: God owns the board and he makes the rules. Ain't nothing worse than playing a board game and somebody just makes up the rules, right? But God, he imagine the board game, and all you want to do is get to the end. And God at any moment can come along and take your game piece and throw it and remove it at any moment. Because why? Because he owns the board. He owns the board. He's not worried about the destination. He's not worried about you finish the game, right? He can get you there fast if he wants to. He is more concerned about who you are when you get there. Who are you when you get there? If you're not the right person when you get there, then you're not gonna be able to sustain the place where he's placed you. If Abraham had not been the person he needed to be, he never would have sustained where God has him. And we'll find that out in just a moment. Number two is this: as human beings, we believe what we see, but God wants you to believe what he said. We believe what we see, but God wants you to believe what he said. Sometimes we can't see where we're going or how we're going to get there, but God wants you to get to the place in your life where you say, you know what? God, if you said it, I believe it. If you said it, no matter what I face, if you said it, I believe it. I understand why we are this way, because we're human beings, right? That's just the way we are. And I love it, because there's a term of endearment that God uses when he defines human beings throughout the Bible. In fact, you can find this metaphor, you can find this term in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. God uses a term, a metaphor. He calls us sheep. He calls us sheep. And it's really a term of endearment, but it's also a term of indictment. I'll tell you why. The term of endearment became, back in the biblical times, a sheep would be like, for us, would be like a puppy, right? Come on, you know what I'm talking about, puppies, right? You look at a puppy, you're like, oh, it's so cute, you wanna love on it, squeeze it, oh, right? How many know puppies take work? Okay, I have one if you want one, right? You can take it home, you train it, and then give it back to me when you're done, all right? Puppies take work, right? It's a term of endearment, because in the biblical times, they were the same way. Oh, the sheep is cute. Oh, it's so cute. I love, oh, the puppy, right? And when God calls you a sheep, he's talking about that same type of thing. Oh, I love my human. Oh, they're so cute. I'm believing them. They're so great. They're wonderful. True story. I remember picking up my dog from the groomer one time. I walk in the little room and pick up the groomer, and before me is this dude. And I'm talking like over 6 feet, muscles everywhere, like big guy, you know? And I'm thinking at any moment they're going to bring his dog out and it's going to be like this big old Rottweiler, bulldog, whatever. Kid you not, true story, comes out little Chihuahua. They hand this big muscle dude this Chihuahua. And I'm just like staring, watching, like, that doesn't look right. But what really messed me up is then he starts talking to this dog. And he's like, oh, you're so cute. You look so pretty today. Oh, I know you didn't want to be here today. I'm so sorry. When you get to the car, I got a treat for you, you know. And I'm like, just sitting there going, that just doesn't seem natural to me. Nothing about that makes sense. It's unnatural. But just as silly as that is, God loving a little human is the same way. God just grabs us, and he's in all of his infiniteness, in all his bigness, and all his amazingness, he has humans in his hands. He has us in his hands, and he's like, oh, I love you. I love you. I love you so much that I sent my son Jesus to die for you, my only son. I love you so much that everything you need in life I have for you. I'm your Jehovah Jireh, the God that provides for you. That's the way God treats us. Maybe that's why King David said, who is man that you should think of us? Who is man that you should think of us? Who is man that you would love us? Like, who is man that you would trade your son for us? Who am I that you would think about me? Who am I that you would love me? You gotta understand, please understand, CLC, you are a sheep in the hands of God. You are a sheep in the hands of God. It makes no natural sense that God would care for us the way he does. But to God, you are everything. You are everything. It's silly. We're here today, gone tomorrow, yet God embraces us. He embraces us. But hear me this morning, sheep is also a term of indictment, right? Because let's just face it, here's the reality. Sheep, well, they're not the brightest animal on the planet. They're not. Their brain is small. Here's the other thing to know about sheep. Their vision, I mean, you talk about not using your eyes, but listen to what God says. Their vision is terrible. It's hideous. First, they only see black and white. Sheep only see black and white, not in color. Secondly, sheep have eyes on the side of their heads, not in the front of their heads. And then thirdly, sheep can barely see 20 feet in front of them. And even at that, it's fuzzy. And I know what some of you are thinking, like, how do you know all this, Pastor? You're like, look, it's science. Google it, all right? It's there. But a sheep can barely see 20 feet ahead of itself. Can barely see. It's fuzzy. But you know what? You know why? You know how good the hearing of a sheep is? It can hear 2.3 miles away. Because a sheep wasn't built to walk by sight. They weren't built to walk by sight. A sheep was built to hear. And maybe that's why some of us in here struggle with God's word, because you were not created to live by sight. You were created to live by sight. You were created to live by the word of God. You were created to live by what God says, right? I get it, right? I don't know if any of you do this. I'm probably the only one, but I don't know about, I know I had to think about this all the way. I said, I don't know about you, but I'm in my car and I'm driving and I'm lost, right? You ever get this and you're lost and the radio's playing, right? And the music's playing. And I don't know, maybe I'm the only one who does this. And my wife will say, do you know where you're going? And I'm like, I'll figure it out. And I turn the radio down. Anybody else do that? You probably do it and don't even know it that you do it. Like all of a sudden, it's like, what does the music and the sound have anything to do with me being lost? Except for I just know maybe it helps me find my direction by turning the music down, right? Because maybe it helps me focus better. Just lower the music so I can see where I'm going. And I literally do that. And this is why I think sometimes we close our eyes when we pray, because we're saying to ourselves, I don't want what I'm seeing to get in the way of what God's saying. Let me hear this morning. Don't allow what you're seeing to get in the way of what God's saying. Your sight will always, always fail you. But God's word is true. It doesn't fail. It's with you. It's don't go by what you see, because God said he will be your provider, right? And that might not be what you feel right now, but trust me, God will be your provider. He said he would. Maybe you're in here and you say, I don't feel very healthy right now. Don't go by what you see. Know this, God says he can heal you. Maybe you're in here right now and you don't feel very righteous. Let me tell you something. God says he will forgive you and redeem you, even when you don't feel like it. God, you said to live by faith, not by sight. To live by faith, not by sight. We have to live by what he said, not by what we see. That's why the very first thing we need to do in the morning, hear me, church, the first thing we need to do in the morning when we wake up is grab our Bibles, grab your Bibles, whatever that might be, and read it. And read it. Hear me this morning. The first thing you should do before you ever get out of bed is grab your Bible and read the verse of the day. Read some scripture before you ever find out what's going on in Russia and Ukraine. Before you ever find out what the stock market's doing or about the gas prices or politics. Before. Because hear me this morning. If not, you're going to let what you see compromise what God said. You're going to let what you see compromise what God said, because what God said is the foundation of what you see. It's the foundation of what you see. We have to build our lives on what God said, not what we see. Now, I know some of you in the room have probably been the same with me. You ever have a song come on and it's stuck with you all day? It's like in your head, you can't get rid of it. It's like, oh, don't say it, it's there. It's in your head. I've thought for my own life, I find that my habit is I want to pray first thing in the morning, I want to pray before I go to bed, because I want the first thing I hear and the last thing I hear become the soundtrack in my head. I don't want anything else to be a soundtrack. God, I want the soundtrack to say, God is good. Your love never fails. Your mercies endure. You're always with me. You'll never leave me. Your grace is sufficient. That's the soundtrack I want in my head, not the other things. You got to create soundtracks in your head, good ones, right, that drown out the noise of the enemy. The third and last thing I would say is this, simply this. You'll know when you get there. And why that's so hard for us is because we yearn for direction, but God yearns for connection. We yearn for direction, but God yearns for connection. I remember when I first started dating my wife, Kim, right? It was all about impressing her. Like, I finally snagged her. She had like 50 boyfriends before me, right? And so, right? No. Anyway, so she finally made it down to me and settled. And so, she finally saw this awesomeness. But I wanted to impress her so much because I was like, wow, I'm overwhelmed and this woman likes me. And so I wanted her to think that I was better than I was, right? I wanted her to think I had it all together. I was a self-made man. I remember going to my mom begging her for money because I was like, I can't tell. Kim has to think I have money, right? Like, I can't go to dinner and say, sorry, I can't pay for you. Like, mom, give me money, right? I had to impress her. Like, I was following her around like a little puppy because I was like, oh, I was just enamored with this beautiful girl, right? I wanted her to think I was cool and intelligent. She knows the truth today. But, and I even remember, like, we would go somewhere, and before we would go, I would pull out my map so that I want her to know that I know how to get around, right? Every man wants that. And notice I said map, not GPS, all right? Just so you're with me on that. And because I wanted to impress her, right? And one day I realized to myself, as I was dating my wife, I realized, like, this isn't me. This isn't who Heath is. Like, it's not just about being together, but dating was about getting to know the real each other, to get to know who we really were. And the point of being together was not to just be together, but to get to know each other more. What if the reason that God hasn't taken you to a place that you want to go yet is because maybe he's saying, do we know each other? Maybe he's saying to you, do you really know me? Do you really know me as your Lord and your Savior, your comfort, your provider, all those promises that are in the Bible? Or have you taken advantage of getting to really know me and who me is? Maybe that's one reason God hasn't placed you in the next season. I know when you get to there, right? But that's not the point of life. It's not just about arriving at a destination, but the point of life is not just to be together. The point of life is to get to know him more and more and more and get to know his ways and get to be with him more and more. When I was in high school, I played football, and my brother played football too, and we were in a small little country town, and there was a family there, a very wealthy family, who loved football. They loved football, loved football players, and so they would do things. For me, for example, I could go twice a year and walk right into their office, and because I played football while I was in college, they would write me a check twice a year. Just, here you go, Heath, go spend it however you want. My brother, on the other hand, was a really good football player and went to play for the Troy State University. And this very wealthy family, one day before he left for college, took him down to the local car lot and they said, take your pick. Any car he wanted. Now, this dummy, like, I would have picked a Corvette, you know, or something, like, whatever. So he got brand new, right, hot off the press, 1992 Chevrolet Cavalier, right? I don't know why. I'm like, Mark, Michael, why? Like, you could have picked any. I don't know. It was just, you know. But what I know is that my brother took this car, went off to college. Literally, within months, the car was trashed. Seats were ripped, dirty inside. I mean, just unkept. And what I realized all these years later was that my brother never really appreciated the car. He never drew the connection of, wow, the process it took to get this car. Someone just gave it to him. He never really appreciated, he never really owned it. And I'm not telling stories behind his back, I would tell it to his face. But many times, if God gets us to our destination too quick or so quick, we are quick to abandon. We are quick to not appreciate the journey, not appreciate what it took to get to this place. God needs you in the journey long enough that you fall in love with him. He needs you in the journey long enough that you learn to depend on him and you learn that you really need him so that you will take him wherever you go in life. No matter what season, no difficulty, good time, bad time, you take God with you because you've developed that connection with him. Hear me this morning, no matter where you're at, let me encourage you with this. No matter where you are in your season or what you want, think you could be on the mountain or in the valley, just know this, God hasn't abandoned you. God is with you, but maybe in this season, God is shaping you. He's molding you. He's developing you to where he wants you to be. Listen, I think this, you'll have what you need when you get there. This is what I know. It may seem like a difficult season, but you will have what you need when you get there. Listen, this theme of when you get there follows Abraham his whole life. Everywhere Abraham goes, this it follows him. We saw it first here where God says, hey, I'm going to give you this promised land, but I need you to do these certain things. But then we see it again, another area of Abraham's life with his son, his only son, Isaac. He has this son that he craved, that God finally gave him at an older point of his life. He gives him this son, his one only son. His name is Isaac. And God tells him to do something crazy. Genesis 22. This is what it says. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. And he said to him, Abraham, here am I, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Get this, he says, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. Crazy. Now God's saying, hey, this only son that you gave me, I want you to go and sacrifice. But I want you to catch something in the second, the third verse. It says, early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded the donkey he had took that he had took with him, the two servants and his son Isaac, and then he cut enough wood for the burnt offering, and he set it out the place that God told him to go. So it says, I love what it says there. It didn't say later in the day. It didn't say the next 3 days later. What did it say? Early the next day. There was something that you can see in the character of Abraham that had been developed over this time that he trusted God. And he's like, well, this is a weird request, God. You're asking me to do this, but I trust you enough. And the Bible says that he got up early. I think that's significant because I think God wants us to know that delayed obedience is disobedience. When God asks you to do something, you do it. It says this in verse 4. It said, on the third day, Abraham looked up and he saw the place in the distance. And I love this, talking about God works in reverse, right? Reverse engineering. This is all foreshadowing to Jesus Christ. Because we know that Jesus Christ, right? Isaac is a foreshadow to Christ. When we come back from we know that Jesus was crucified and he rose on the third day. God is putting things together that you and I will look back one day and go, oh, God did have a plan. God really did have things in order. God thinks we think in forward motion and God thinks in reverse engineering. He goes on in verse 5, he says, Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering, and he placed it on his son Isaac, and he carried it, the fire and the knife, and as the two of them went up together. Again, how about that faith? God said, sacrifice your child. What you don't understand is just one chapter before that, God's telling Abraham, hey, Isaac is going to be the father of many descendants. All the descendants of Isaac are going to change the world. This is what God's telling. And now God's saying, hey, go sacrifice your son. Here's what I think. I think my friend Abraham is thinking, you know what? If you said it, you will do it. If you said it, you will do it. I want you to get this. He said to his servants, verse 5, I think I might skip that, but here's what he said in verse 5. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. Can I talk to you about faith? Notice what Abraham said there. Abraham looked at his servants and he didn't say, I will come back to you. You know what he said? We will come back. There was something about Abraham, I think, knew God's promises. He knew that God will do what he says. And he knew that just a chapter early, God's saying, Isaac's going to be, his descendants are going to change the world. And he looks at his servants and he didn't say, I will come back. He said, we will come back. We will come back. And he gives this amazing foreshadowing of Jesus as Isaac is carrying the wood up to the mountain. It's like this, again, this foreshadowing of what Jesus is going to do for us. And he goes on in verse 7. He says, Isaac spoke up and he said to his father, Abraham, Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied, the fire and the wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went up together. I think Abraham's basically looking at his son. He says, you know what? He's using our phrase. You will have it when you get there. Where's the burnt offering? Where's the sacrifice? We're doing all this work. Where is it? And Abraham just looks at his son and says, you know what? We'll have it when we get there. He goes on in verse 9. It says, when they reached the place, God had told him about Abraham built an altar there, and he arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac, and he laid them on the altar on the top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand, and he took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham! Here am I, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Here's what I want you to know. The word there, fear, talks about fear. Now that I know that you fear, theologically also means, or really means, love. You could rewrite it and say, now that I know that you love me. Now that you know you love me. So our God is telling him, I know this seems like a needless journey. I know, why do we do all this? Why do we do all this work? Why do we get up early in the morning? Why are we walking up the hill? Why do we do all this needless work? But I think what God was saying to Abraham, I'm trying to develop a connection between us. And maybe sometimes the season you're walking through, the journey you're taking is maybe God's just trying to develop a connection. He's just trying to develop you, right? The whole process, Abraham, was about connecting him more to God. Now that I know that you love me, now that I know you're willing to do whatever I ask you to do, now that I know that you're willing to trust me, there's this connection. And he closes out this amazing story. Abraham looked up, verse 13, and there in the thicket, he saw a ram caught by its horns. And he went over and he took the ram and he sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided." The mountain of the Lord will be provided. This saying became famous throughout, even today, all throughout Israel, that one saying, "On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided." In other words, you will have what you need when you get there. You will have everything, not before you get there, folks, not in the middle, on the way there, but when you get there, God will provide everything you need. I know many times we wish we had it now, right? I'm the same way. But as you and I stay in the process, God will reveal himself to us. As you stay in the process, God's gonna reveal himself to you. Let me just encourage you this. If you don't have it yet, you don't need it yet. You may be saying, "God, give it to me, give it to me." I think God just says, look, if you don't have it yet, you don't need it. Hear me, I believe everyone in this room, no matter how young or old you are, where you are in your faith journey, I believe everyone in this room, God has something for your life. He has a destiny, he has purpose, he has something for your life. And if you're in a season right now where you don't feel like you have what you need, maybe God's just saying, listen, here's what I know. God will never give Pastor Heath, he'll never give CLC a mission, a calling, and not give us the resources to accomplish that. He's not gonna do that. It's not how God works. He didn't just drop the mic and leave. He's going to provide for us. He has a plan for your life, right? But maybe, just maybe, if you're not there yet, maybe you don't need it yet, right? We could succeed right now with everything that God has given us. We have everything we need to reach our community, to grow our church, to provide everything that we need to provide. But if you don't have it yet, maybe you don't need it. But the second part of that is, if you don't have it yet, maybe you're not there yet. If you don't have it yet, maybe it's simply you're not there yet. When Abraham got to the top of the mountain, like I read about, he didn't just get to a place on the mountain. See, we like to think, oh, it was his journey, and Abraham got to a specific place that God had for him. I don't think it was about just getting to that place. When Abraham got to the top of the mountain, he got to a place in his life. When you go through this journey, you're going to get to a place, not just to arrive at a destination, but you're going to get a place in your life. And I think Abraham got to a place in his life where the gift was no longer as important as the giver. Where the gift was no longer as important as the giver. He got to a place in his life where he was waiting his whole life for a son. If you read the story of Abraham, him and Sarah wanted a son for so long and they couldn't have it. And finally, at an old age, God provided them this son. But Abraham had to get to that place, and he got to that place where he said, I would rather have God than have Isaac. And that took time, and that took effort, but he finally got there. And when he got there, not only did God say, I will give you back your son Isaac, but not only that, but through Isaac, I'm gonna do more and more and amazing things. I'm gonna do incredible things. I have people all the time, listen to me, through my whole ministry career, people come to me in tears, and they're asking me this question, they're like, you know, I see God, where is God in my life? I see him doing this for this person, and I see God doing this in this person's life, and I see all these good things, God's doing all these other things for other people, but why not me? And they're literally in tears. And they don't like my response, because my response is, you know, I see all God doing all these other things, and my response to them is, you know why? Let me tell you why God's doing it, because of that right there. Because you're not there yet. You're too focused on destination. You're too focused on everyone else instead of what God wants to do in you. Hear me. Too many of us still have God's goodness tied to what God does. We think God's good by what he does. But when we get to the place to whether he does it or not, where we can still say he's still God, that's a good place. If we get to the place whether God does anything else in your life, you could still say he's king. When you can get to the place, no matter what God does in your life, you could still say he's still God. That's when God will really show up in your life. When we don't tie who God is to how good he is. But if he never does another thing for you, is he still good? Is he still king? Is he still God? Listen this morning as I close up. The Bible, I love this story, said that the ram was caught in the thicket. Some people just pass that over. The ram was caught in the thicket. I think, in other words, what God was showing us, what we were seeing is your promise isn't going anywhere. God's promised you things. It's not going anywhere. Your child isn't going anywhere. Your grandchild isn't going anywhere. Your business isn't going anywhere. Your marriage isn't going anywhere. Your future, your destiny isn't going anywhere. Your promise is caught in the thicket. It's caught in the thicket. And all you have to do is do what God told you to do. Follow the plan God has for your life. Keep doing what God called you. And one day, after enough steps, after enough times on the path and on the journey, right? After enough steps in the right direction, it's gonna be there for you. Freedom, healing, provision, direction, it'll all be caught right there in the thicket. The promise will be there waiting for you all along. And all you have to do, all you had to do was trust God. All you had to do is say, God, it's all about you. It's not about the address. It's about the journey. It's not about the destination. I'll know it when I get there. And when you get there, guess what's going to happen? You're going to look back and go, wow, God was there all along. You're going to look back and go, wow, look how God directed me during that time. Wow, look how God prepared me for that time. Look how good God was, even when I couldn't see how good God was in the midst of that. It's going to look at it and say, well, look how God set me up to be a good mom or a good dad. Look how God set me up to be a good friend, a good husband, a good wife. Look how God set me up to be a good coworker or a boss. Look how God set me up to be a good Christian. But more importantly, look how God sets us up to be followers of Christ. You didn't know it then, but guess what? Once you get there, you know it. And so this morning, as I close out and we worship together as we end, I want to say this to you. We, you and I, in this room, speaking to myself, we need to release the anxiety of being there, right? Because here's the thing. The ram isn't going anywhere. The promise isn't going anywhere. What God spoke over you, what you feel for your life, it's going to be there. So you and I, we need to get over the anxiety of being there, and hear me, and receive the peace of being here. The peace that no matter what you're going through, no matter what season you're in, you can be at peace that God is still with you. He's along the journey. He's just shaping, molding, preparing you for what he has for you. God has something for us in the journey. As a church, as an individual, as a pastor, God has something for us in the journey. But let me close with these two thoughts. First, let me say this. Let me encourage you with this. If we skip God's process, we shouldn't expect his blessings. If we skip God's process, we shouldn't expect his blessing, because you know what? That's how the kingdom works. That's how the kingdom works. This Bible is full of what? It's full of processes. Almost every character, every story here is about a process. It's about somebody who was here who had to get there. There were very many people that got to skip the process. Man, I could spend hours talking to you about Peter. Man, what a process. I could talk to you hours about Paul. What a process. I could talk to you all about all the disciples. What a process. I could talk to you about Nehemiah and what a process. Whew. There's a guy in the Bible, his name's Jonah. Talk about a process. The Bible's full of process. We can't skip God's process, and if we do, we shouldn't expect the blessing, because that's how the kingdom works. But I would say this last thought, and then we'll pray and sing. I just want to encourage you with this. God's not asking you to figure it out. That should relieve you. God's not asking you and I to figure it out. He is asking us to trust that he already has. Hear me? He's not asking us to figure it out. He's just asking that we trust that he already has. And I think God has already figured out. Nobody knows you more than him. Nobody knows your thoughts, your ways, your actions more than him. And believe me, I believe that God has a destination for each and every one of us. We might not know what it is. Might be in a season, but trust me, you'll know it when you get there. You will know it when you get there. And let me just say this. If we stay in the process, guess what? We will get there. You will get there. Father, this morning, I just pray today that you would encourage us today. Faith is a journey. Faith is a walk. Faith is an exercise. Faith is work. But Lord, it is worth every effort that we put into it. It's worth knowing that we have a God who never leaves us or forsakes us. It's worth knowing that we have a God who keeps his promises. It's worth knowing that one day we get to stand before you and God will look us in the face and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. It's worth all of that. And so whatever season that we're in this room, whatever journey that each and every person is on, I pray that more than anything else, God, that we would be determined to know that the promise is there, but the journey is so worth it. The effort that's put into it will only make us better followers of you, Jesus. And ultimately, God, that's the goal. So help us today to know, help those today that are maybe struggling, trying to find purpose and destiny, maybe those that are in the midst of some type of season, God, to know that they're not alone, they're not abandoned, but God, you are there. And that God will get there. So like sheep in the hands of God, I pray that all of us would feel that embrace, peace and comfort that comes from knowing that we have a good shepherd that leads us and guides us and protects us. We love you for it today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing together.
Yeah, God, we just ask for your kingdom to come, for your will to be done here on earth as it is in heaven, God. That you would start preparing us now, showing us how to live now, God, in the same way you'd have us live then. We just thank you. You are worthy, God. Praise you, you are awesome, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus.
I see bright crimson clothes draped over the ashes, a wide open tomb where there should be a casket. The children are singing and dancing and laughing. The Father is welcome. This is our homecoming, roses in bloom, pushed up from the embers. Rivers of tears flow from good times remembered. Families are singing and laughing and dancing. The Father is welcoming. This is our homecoming, and heaven joins in with the glorious sound. And the great cloud of witnesses gather around, 'cause the ones that were lost are now finally found. The Father is welcoming, this is our homecoming. Scarlet sins had a crimson cost, nailed my debt to that old rugged cross. An empty slate at an empty grave, thank God that stone was rolled. And scarlet sin had a crimson cost, nailed my debt to that old rugged cross. An empty slate at an empty grave, thank God that stone was rolled. A crimson cost, he nailed my debt to that old rugged cross. An empty slate at an empty grave, thank God that stone was rolled away. Amen.
Lord, we just thank you today. Pray for those in the room today that just that we all just need that assurance, God, that, you are for us, that you're not against us. That God, you're in the journey, you're in the process with us. No matter what we face, no matter what we go through, God, you are with us. Let us hold on to that truth today. Let us be encouraged today, knowing that our God is more than able. Pray for the one in the room today, maybe doubts this, God, that doubts, are you real? Is there really God? Is he really involved in my life? Is he really involved in my process? I pray, God, for that person today that may be struggling with that. And may, Lord, they just feel, even now as we're praying, as we're closing out this service, may they feel that peace of God come over them. May they know that, may we all know, God, that it's as simple as calling out to you, saying, hey, Lord, I need you. Come into my life. Make me new. Start my journey with you, Lord. But in any case, God, I pray for in this room, God, that you would humble us, you would forgive us. Make us hunger for you, God. Lord, make us hunger for you. In the midst of everything that we might experience, may we be desperate for more of God. May we be desperate to know you and to serve you. So I pray blessing upon your people today. May you watch over us. May your face truly shine upon us. God, may you be with us at every turn and every corner. God, may you bring provision for those and who are struggling. Lord, may you prosper us in each and every way, God. And may we enjoy the fact that we can say that we know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords this morning. We worship you, we honor you, and we thank you. In God's precious, glorious name we pray. Amen. Amen.
This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at missoulachurch.com.